thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
On the life of Elijah, the fourth sermon, Elijah, the God of surprises. We're going to read this morning from 1 Kings 17, verses 7 to 16 this morning. Verses 7 to 16 of 1 Kings 17. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, that's to Elijah. Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I may have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. So she went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Firstly, when the brook dries up. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. It sometimes happens that Christians hear sermons on how God leads us, and they sometimes get the impression that unless God gives us a supernatural sign or something very dramatic happens, then God isn't leading or speaking. The passage that we are looking at today will remind us that God sometimes leads us and directs us through a change in our natural circumstances. God had very specifically told Elijah to go to the Kirith ravine and drink from the brook there, a natural provision. And God had ordered the ravens to feed him there, a supernatural provision. In his time in the ravine, I'm sure Elijah wondered from time to time, I wonder what's going to happen with this brook. I wonder, will it eventually dry up? I mean, I prophesied to King Ahab, there's going to be neither rain nor dew in the land for a few years, except at my word. So there's going to be no water coming down the mountains or coming down the hills to feed this little brook here. But then he may have thought, well, God could supernaturally keep providing water in the brook. He may have remembered Moses and the children of Israel in the desert. God supernaturally brought water out of a rock. But week by week, day by day, Elijah began to notice the brook was flowing a bit slower, was getting a bit narrower, until one day the brook dried up completely. It happened as a natural result of the drought. This natural circumstance was the way in which God brought it to Elijah's attention. It's time to move on from the ravine. God used a natural circumstance to show Elijah This phase of your preparation is over. I want you to move on, move out, take the next step of obedience. This is a skill we all need to learn as Christians if we're to keep moving forward in faith. Understanding what God is saying to us through our natural circumstances. You might think, well, that's an easy thing. But it's a surprisingly difficult thing because on the whole, human beings don't like change. Many of us are creatures of habit. Just look at where you sit every Sunday. That says it all. We like to settle. We like things to stay the same. And even when it's obvious to us that change is coming, sometimes we pull back from it. We don't understand why it's happening. It happens in our personal lives, and it also happens in church lives, church life. These are the times when it's important for us to understand what is God saying through this change in my natural circumstances. If we all think for a moment about our personal lives and how sometimes in our lives the brook dries up. Think, for example, of how many of us in this room this morning have experienced a change in our natural circumstances. May have been sudden, may have been gradual, it may have been something we weren't expecting, but our life is beginning to look different from what we expected it would look like. Maybe a serious health problem arises in our family or with ourselves. Maybe elderly parents need more support. Maybe there's a big change in our financial situations. Maybe our work dries up or it becomes too stressful. Maybe there's unexpected relationship difficulties. Maybe a pregnancy we hoped would happen didn't happen. Maybe we didn't get the grades that we wanted. Or there was an unexpected death. I know that if I went round every single one of us in this room this morning, all of us could say, yes, at some point in my life, the brook dried up. There was a change in my natural circumstances, sometimes I wasn't expecting. It happens to us all, but how are we to respond? How are we to interpret what God is saying to us in the midst of that? What is he saying when the brook dries up? Friends, it's in these situations we need to know and to be able to determine what God is saying, because many people misinterpret what God's saying. Many people think it's a sign of God's anger, his disapproval, when maybe actually it's just a sign he wants you to move on. Some people sit down at the edge of the brook. They never move on from the dried up brook. They can't accept what has happened. They're disappointed, even disappointed with God. They feel God has let them down because he has allowed this to happen. This is you this morning. Listen, I don't want to march into sensitive areas of anybody's life with big boots on, but I do want to speak into your life with compassion, with sensitivity, because it's true that sometimes we do not understand why God allows some things to happen in our lives. But one thing is true. Many things are true. God is all wise. God is always good. God is perfect in all his ways. And I believe this morning God is standing in front of you. You know who you are. He's standing in front of you. And he's reaching out his hand to you. This week as I've been preparing, I have seen somebody sitting by the dried up brook weeping. You still can't believe that the brook dried up. You feel broken inside. You feel let down by God. I see somebody else sitting by the dried up brook. The tears have stopped years ago, but you're still sitting by the dried up brook. You're feeling a deep, deep sense of disappointment in your heart. You appear to be getting on with life, but you know in your heart that you've never moved on from that disappointment. This morning, Jesus is stretching out his hand to you. He's saying, my child, get up on your feet again. You've sat by the dried up brook for too long. It's time to walk forward. It's time to move on into the plans and the provision I have for you. Time to take the next step. For others, there may be a door that's closing naturally in your life. Something that was once vibrant and alive is no longer working. And it's important to know when it's time for change. Time to close something down even. Even in church life, I tell you, we're not always very good at this. Because sometimes we look back and we say, that thing was used so significantly by God in the past. And even though it isn't now, we tend to want to hold on to it. We tend to get precious about it. But it may only have been for a season. And now the season's over. The brook has dried up. It's time for change. What would have happened to Elijah if when the brook dried up, if he would have said, well, God led me here. God told me to come here. God told me he'd provide for me here. Now the brook has dried up, but God said I was to be here. What would have happened if he dug his heels in and not listened? If he'd have wanted to live forever in that place of provision? It was time to change. It was time to move forward. It was time to move from the dried up brook. You need to move. Maybe physically somewhere, emotionally, spiritually. We need to learn to read the natural signs, the changing circumstances, and understand what God's saying. Then there was a surprising new direction. God told him, go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. So God's first provision, remote, isolated Kirith Ravine, fed every day supernaturally by ravens and by the water in the brook. And now God says, I've commanded a widow to feed you in Zarephath. Well, that was a more natural form of provision through a human being. I think Elijah, initially, would have been more surprised where God was sending him than who was going to meet his need. And to go to Zarephath, well, there's a surprise. I'm a prophet called by God to the nation of Israel, and now God is saying to me, go to Zarephath, lies outside the borders of Israel, it's Gentile territory. And it was a surprising new direction because not just, I put the wee map here, that's probably the route he would have taken, but Zarephath not only was Gentile territory, Zarephath was the very heart of Baal's territory. The town of Zarephath, 90 miles from where Elijah was now, lies between Tyre and Sidon, right on the coast there, the Mediterranean coast. You may remember that Jezebel was from Sidon. Her father was Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians. He was a massive promoter of Baal worship. And God has chosen to send his servant Elijah right into the heart of Baal territory because no place is too dark for God's light to shine. Do you believe that? Nowhere is too dark for God to work. God doesn't know geographical borders, political borders, religious borders or boundaries. There is no place on this earth that is out of bounds to God. There's no iron curtain. There's no hard border between Northern Ireland and the south of Ireland. There's no bamboo curtain. God moves in hearts entirely at his own will, entirely. You think of the stories, many stories coming out of Muslim-dominated countries. People with little or no access to the gospel. And Jesus gives them a dream or a vision or a revelation of himself. And he says, I am the true God and Savior. God's Spirit moves wherever he wills. God's work is never hindered by the dominant religious beliefs of the people. God's work cannot be stopped by the monitoring of religious police. Nobody can stop God working. Hallelujah. But it still may have surprised Elijah to be sent to Zarephath. It's not a random incident. This was one of God's planned, they're all God's planned and purposeful incidents. But this particular incident was of huge prophetic significance for us. To understand it, you need to think back to Luke 4, 24, 25, and see how Jesus interprets this incident. After Jesus' baptism by John in the Jordan River, and he went out into the desert to be tried and tested by the devil, and then he returned to Galilee in the power and under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He went to preach good news to the people. And he returned to his hometown of Nazareth. These people knew him well. He'd grown up there. He went into the synagogue and he read those well-known verses from Isaiah 61. And he proclaimed to them, I am the one that God has sent to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the captives. And when the people heard it, wow, they were delighted. They were praising him. They were listening and talking about how gracious his words were. And then suddenly, the atmosphere in the synagogue soured. Suddenly, the mood changed when Jesus told them in only very slightly veiled language, using this story of how God didn't send Elijah to any of the widows, although there were plenty in Israel, but sent them to a widow in Zarephath. And he told them, this is God's heart to reach beyond the borders and the boundaries of Israel and include Gentiles into the covenant. They were furious. The inclusion of Gentiles into God's special covenant relationship. They actually tried to kill Jesus that day. Now you need to remember, this is not the religious elite or the religious leaders in Jerusalem. These are ordinary people in his home synagogue because they couldn't accept that God would want to accept outsiders into the covenant. Jesus was telling them, Elijah going to Zarephath is a prophetic sign that God has a heart and compassion for the ones who are classed as outsiders. This morning, that should be a point of rejoicing for us because we are those Gentiles. And now we have been incorporated. We're reading about it this morning. We who were once far off have been brought near through the blood of Christ. The blood of the new covenant. We have been incorporated into God's family. Adopted, not as some kind of just wee sideline, as absolute full sons and daughters. Praise his name. But there's also a continuing challenge in this to all of us. This prophetic sign, we need to constantly remind ourselves that God is still a God who welcomes the outsiders. God still loves the world. Still loves the world. Jesus Christ, God's Son, still is the light that shines in the darkness. There is no dark too dark for God to break into. Whether that is the heart of your loved one that you're praying for, or whether that's into a whole nation or people group, there is no darkness that is too dark for God to shine his light into. This was a surprising new direction for Elijah. I want to ask you this morning, is God calling you or us as a church in a surprising new direction? Is he asking us to be willing to break down a few boundaries, to bring his light into the darkness? Those might be cultural boundaries. They might be racial boundaries. They might be emotional or spiritual boundaries that we built up in our own hearts that hinder our expectation of what God is able to do. But this morning, I encourage you, be like Elijah. Understand that God loves to bring light in the darkness. God still loves to set the prisoner free. God still loves to heal the oppressed. Hallelujah. God still loves to bring those who are imprisoned into the glorious freedom of the gospel. And his usual way to do that is through the obedience of Christians who are prepared to break down the boundaries and go in that surprising new direction. Then final point this morning. Have a wee drink. Don't be put off by the outward appearance. As Elijah travelled northwards on foot, so he's going about 90 miles north and then over to the west, he would have seen firsthand the impact of the drought. As he walked, he'd see nothing but scorched land. Emaciated animals, starving people. I'm sure, well, I would think he would have been staying in the sort of remote places, but I'm sure he had to pass through villages. And he might have heard people talk, King Ahab's got his search parties out for that troublesome prophet Elijah who's caused all this. And then eventually Elijah would have gone over the border, out of Israel, into this area of Phoenicia. And he could see that the famine and the drought had spread beyond the borders of Israel. Now that realization may have made him wonder, well, not only about where God was sending him right into the heart of Baal's territory, but also what God had said about commanding a widow there to supply him with food. A widow. God's choice of a widow. That was surprising. Because widows were almost always on the margins. Generally, even in good times, they were just scraping a living for themselves and their family. And in a time of famine, would there be a widow who was prepared to take on a prophet, another mouth to feed? Well, maybe it'd be a miracle. Maybe God had a very rich widow in Zarephath to meet his need. So God sent a servant into this surprising territory, Baal's territory. And as he crossed over the border, I am sure he saw many people trying desperately to appease Baal, trying desperately, praying to Baal, offering things to Baal. Baal is the god of fertility. He is the God who's supposed to control the land and the wind and the rain from heaven. He's the God who's supposed to supply our need. And so they're trying desperately to appease him. But during a time of famine, it becomes a bit more obvious to the people, this God isn't doing a very good job. Where is he in a time of crisis? The people were desperate. And as Elijah approached Zarephath, he must have been wondering about the widow that God had commanded to feed him in this place. When God first told him, I have commanded a widow, I have commanded a widow to feed you in that place, I wonder, did he think the widow would be aware of that? I wonder, did he think, well, she'll probably be sitting at the town gate waiting on me. And then I'll come and she'll say, come on, Elijah, you took a bit of a while to come. Come on home and I've got a big dinner ready sitting on the table for you. So Elijah's maybe hopeful, walking up to the town gate, and he immediately sees a widow. He knew her by her widow's clothes. But what a sight to behold. Here was this widow scratching around in the dust, picking up little bits of sticks and stubble that people have probably dropped on their way in and out. To the natural eye, this did not look promising. She obviously wasn't a wealthy widow. But Elijah wasn't put off by the outward appearance, and he seemed to know that this was the widow that God had commanded to supply him with food. So he asked her for a drink. Hospitality, she goes to get him the drink. And as she's going to get the drink, he said to her, and please bring me a piece of bread. Turns to him and said, as surely as the Lord, your God lives, I don't have any bread. Only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. To the natural eye, that didn't look promising. To the natural ear, that didn't sound promising. Maybe Elijah was surprised to hear, this widow doesn't even seem to be expecting a visitor. She's expecting her imminent death. She didn't appear to be somebody who had a command from God to supply him with food. She couldn't feed herself. She couldn't feed her son. How easily are we put off with what we see with our natural eye and what we hear with our natural ears? If faith is ever going to grow, it will continually be met with challenges. And one of the biggest challenges to our faith is to be able to see beyond the outward appearance of things. Friends, I'm going to repeat that. One of the biggest challenges to our faith is to be able to see beyond the outward appearance of things. Elijah, at this point, could easily have walked away, believing he got it wrong. Maybe it wasn't the right widow, but he was directed by God. This was a place for him to have his faith stretched. And it was also a place of darkness for this woman to have faith in God. It's not often the way when we want to step out in faith. Our faith is usually challenged because the outward appearance is quite often discouraging. Do you have a heart to win people for the Lord? Are you praying for somebody in your own family this morning? I know many of you are. They seem hard. They seem disinterested. They seem hostile. Or maybe as this widow was, despondent. We want God to do something, but the circumstances look impossible. Everything seems to be against it. People only have negative things to say. What are you doing? What are you doing? Are you just looking with a natural eye, listening with a natural ear? Or have you opened the eye of faith? Have you opened the ears of faith? Are you just backing off and backing down and saying, mustn't be the time, it's too hard? Or are you saying, God is working in this situation? I see it with the eye of faith. Because friends, when everything looks discouraging, that's the time to have faith. That's the time to seize the moment, to step forward, to bring the life-giving message of God. All around us, people are starving, not a physical famine, a spiritual famine. People are starving to death spiritually. Every single day of our lives, if you go out your front door, maybe you don't even have to go out, you're rubbing shoulders with people who are dying. They're depressed. They're hopeless. They feel as if life is slipping away. Sometimes we don't recognize them because they're sharply dressed. They're holding down a responsible job. They're carrying on as if everything's going fine, but inside they're dying. Don't be put off by the outward appearance of things. God is working. Elijah didn't just pray earnestly for the withholding of rain to punish the land of Israel. That wasn't the reason. The whole reason for praying for the withholding of rain, yes, certainly it was in one way the judgment of God, but it was also a corrective. God's judgments come with a corrective, intending to draw the people back to himself. That was the purpose of the famine. Now Elijah was going beyond the borders of Israel, but he was still praying and believing that God would use physical need to awaken spiritual things in people's hearts, to awaken spiritual need. And that still remains true today. Often crisis, need, disaster, something awakens need, spiritual need within people. When that widow gave Elijah her sorrowful, pathetic response, he said, "Don't be afraid. Go home. Bake a piece of bread for me, first." It's amazing. For me. Bring it to me. And then go home and bake some for yourself and your family. Don't be afraid. He said, the God of Israel says, there's going to be flour in that wee jar. There's going to be oil in that wee jug until the day the rain comes on the land. What an incredible word. Would she believe him? She probably recognized him as a prophet by his dress. You know, I think it was more than that. She heard the word of God through him. God's word is spirit and life. Never underestimate the power of the word of God. Spoken plain and simply, right into people's hearts. It has tremendous power. What confidence the story should give us. Elijah came. She met a woman at the end of herself. He wasn't put off by the place or by what he saw in this woman. He believed, God has brought me here to do something powerful. When we trust God enough to open our mouths and bring the word of God, in that moment, God will do something. Friends, we know the one who is the bread of life, the one who is the living water, the one who gives and gives and gives. The widow's encounter with Elijah and with his God changed everything. She expected one more meager meal and then death. That's what she expected. She expected, that's it. The natural things of life were going, but God had different plans. God had plans to save her and her whole family. God was going to break into this family who didn't know them. This is a challenge, and I'll finish with this. Sometimes when we go on in our Christian lives, especially being Christians a long time, we can become very comfortable with people who are just like us. Believers, but we aren't so comfortable with people who know nothing of God, people in total darkness. God still loves the world. He still loves the world. He still welcomes outsiders. When you think of what Elijah said to her, it took some faith to do as he asked. But when you read this account, I want you to remember one thing. Before any of this took place, before Elijah got to Zarephath, Before he left the ravine, God says, I have commanded a widow there to supply your needs. I've commanded her. She didn't know it. She responded to Elijah when he brought the word of God because God had already been working on her. She wasn't aware, but God had already been working. Sometimes we talk ourselves into failure. Sometimes we do say, looking with the natural eye, they're too hard. They're hostile. They're despondent. How many times have you heard testimonies? And they say, somebody, they just shared the gospel with me. I maybe heard it 100 times before, but just when I heard it, I just responded. I just had to respond. It was like the final thing. It was like the final link in the chain. It was just like the final barrier was broken down. Is that your family? Is that somebody at your work? And you're thinking a pullback because they look hard, because it doesn't look as if it's going to happen from the outside with a natural eye. Friends, God has commanded the woman to feed Elijah. He was already working in her. God is working. The people you're praying for, God is already working in them. He's working in them. Don't look with a natural eye. Don't listen to all the arguments, the natural negativity. Say, God, give me the eye of faith. Give me the ear to the Spirit to see what you are doing. And keep praying. And then at that moment, open your mouth and speak the word of God. His word is Spirit and it is life. Hallelujah. It is life. He is the bread of life in the time of famine. Let's pray. Lord, seal your word into our hearts this morning. Lord, many different things from your word this morning. I pray, Lord, that we'd be able to take something that you've said to us and to go and live it in this week. I pray in Jesus' name.
And your love is great.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com. Give me faith to trust what you